Good morning. It's the day the Lord hath made. I have waited to do this for about a month and a half, at least. When this idea came to me, I was jazzed about it, but I just didn't know what to do with it because it's so different from what maybe you've heard me do before. But I'm going to need your help today. The title is "Let's Write This Sermon." Let's write this sermon today. By the way, I wrote this about, and I've never written this thing before. I have a scripture, but right above it, I have one line on my notes, and it says this: a real person wrote this word. A real person. Sometimes there's a tendency when you see the scripture there, we put it in an area that it's some kind of ethereal thing. But a real person lived during these times. A real person. The scripture says that holy men were inspired. To simply go a little deeper in the concept, inspired means that God breathed on them, and they wrote as the Spirit of God, and they had people that would follow and even take notes of what, transcribe of what was going on, and that's how we receive what we have today. And I said that I'm going to read you, but I just wanted to tell you today. Sometimes we think of them as superheroes. You know, we think we've seen so many superheroes. They're not a Marvel character, but I marvel at them. You understand? And I haven't read. What's really unusual is that I've not really used too much, because I've been in the Old Testament when we went through the Bible for so long there, and I haven't spent, and I've actually spent a lot of time over the last 2 weeks in the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. I've not spent a lot of time. So I think what I'm probably going to do, I'm going to go back a little further, and just for some time, I'm going to do the same thing that I've been doing for the last couple of years of the foundational words that we all need to know what we believe when we walk out the building, and to be aware of what's coming, and not just insulate ourselves, but even isolate about some of the things that come against us. So I think I'm going to go back to 1st, 2nd Peter, maybe sometime in January, and spend a little time on that in the same fashion that I did the other books. 1st Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says this. It's not on the board yet, okay? This is coming to look at me. Don't look at the board yet. This is just for me right now. This is the opening of the book. And here this is why I said this was written by a person. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Stop right there. He identifies himself who it is. You don't have to ask who the writer is. He said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Who is he writing it to? It said in the next line, and it's not going to be up there because I wanted you to look at me when I did it. He said, I am writing this to God's elect, or another translation, to God's chosen people. That's y'all. That's me. So he said, I am Peter. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing this to God's elect, but there was a problem when he wrote it. He wasn't writing it on Fellowship Sunday. He wasn't writing it on Christmas Sunday. Here's what Peter said, and here's who Peter was addressing. He said, to God's elect. Now, you think with God's elect, everything is, as Grandma used to say, is hunky-dory. Did your grandma ever say that right now? You think everything's hunky-dory to God's elect. Hey, we're God's elect. But notice the next statement. To God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the provinces, Pontus, Galatia, Asia, and he mentioned some other things I can't pronounce, St. Bernard, Metairie, Harahan, and he lifts all those things that we can. But here's what he's saying. I am writing these words to God's chosen people. Yay, we're chosen. You're exiles. You're scattered all over the place. Now, here's where we're going to read together. Two chapters later, chapter 3, verse 12, go. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Would that be his chosen and elect? I would think so. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord, this is going to encourage you in culture today, all right? This is going to encourage you. This gives you a little insight. Cool your jets. Read what the word says. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But the next verse, but, don't you hate these things? But even if you should suffer, even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Yeah, that's easy for you to say. Well, if you know the history of Peter, you know the history of who he was and the way he was and his personality. He was ferocious, whether he was cussing or whether he was slicing ears off or whether he was God just took that personality for the rest of his life and made him a rocket of faith right there, to the point of even in his death and in his demise, he went out with a high hand and in your face. Well, he said, even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. So he says to us, now watch this next statement. He said, do not fear their threats. I'm reading the NIV. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. The Message Bible at this spot right here says this. Listen to what the Message says right there. Don't give the opposition a second thought. How many of y'all give a second thought to the opposition? How many of you give more time to the opposition than you do to the word? How many times do we give more thoughts to the bad, to the opposition, than we do what Jesus said of the word that's supposedly in us? He said, don't even give it a second thought. So how do you cope then? Verse 15. He said, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Now watch this, and this is the premise of the entire message today. Always be prepared to give an answer. Culture is demanding this. To give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. I want to do it, and I want to do it. I was going to do it with a hammer, but that's not. I shouldn't be talking about that today in the news. I want to do it hard-fisted, you know. I want to give it. You shut up and listen. Here's what it says. Here's the part I'm working on. I have an answer, but I'm working on, but do this with gentleness and respect. Because I just want to do like Foghorn Leghorn does to the dog, you know, where he picks up his tail and goes, pop, 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 like that. I want to do that, you know. You cartoon watchers, you'll understand exactly what I'm saying right there. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. This is important. So that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ, and by the way, and they will. This is why Paul said later on, sin does not have dominion over me. In other words, meaning sin can't put a finger on me. So he says, and live in such a way that they will be ashamed of their slander. The New Living Translation says this in verse 16. This is how the New Living says. But do this in a gentle, respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. And I wrote in the margin, well, how you do that? Well, it's the word that does that. Then if people speak against you or they can't put a finger, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. He's telling us first, be ready to give an answer, but he's ending with the concept, but be careful how you walk and live because they will see how you live. The Message Bible here says, I love this. The Message Bible says in this last line, they'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need the bath. I like that. That's kind of fun. You know, many will ask, but many will not ask. Well, have you ever asked someone for advice? Linda said girls are more prone to ask for advice than guys do. See, I've had that told to me a couple times there. Guys are, you know, how many of you, all of your lives, you woke up and when you had newspapers, you opened it up and you read a lady that was there, a little lady, her real name was Pauline Phillips. But Pauline went by the name of Dear Abby, and she started in 19. How many of you read Dear Abby there? Yeah, all did. Because you, isn't it fun to look at somebody else and go, hey, I'm not too bad. Look at this crazy person here right here. And we'd read these stories. And what was really, really unusual, her daughter has taken it over now, and it continues. By 1987, this little advice column in 1987 was in over 1,200 papers every day. The advice in the syndicated column was really uncommon common sense, you know, and we love to watch. Some of those stories are so great, and some of the fun things, if you've ever, and we loved reading about the asking, Dear Abby, asking for advice there. And I got some funny things I could tell you, but it would take me off track right now. But the Dear Abby, we always want, everybody's always looking for some advice. Well, here's, I come to you today, I need your advice. You see the commercial for the home box, whatever the home store is, and the hook line is, let's build something together. You are, that's a really great thing. That ought to be a church slogan. Let's build something. I'm asking you, better yet though, let's build our sermon today. And we're going to do it live. We're going to build it live right in front of here. You know, Brett Musburger had that hook every time he come on CBS. You are looking live at Lambeau Field. You are looking live and direct. And live from New York. There's something about being live. Well, we're going to do this live today. Here's how this message started. I read this guy. This guy wrote this out, and he put it on social media. His name is Mike Harris. And Mike Harris is a school teacher. I'm not going to tell you the state or what city. And he put it in there. And here's what it said. I have a student who reads a ton of books instead of doing her work. And the deeper depth of the story, she doesn't really believe in God, so she says. So I asked her if she would read my favorite book, the Bible. She said, no, I don't want to read that. So I said, okay, what if I give you one story out of the Bible? And she said she would read it. So which story should I suggest? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing right now? Where do we start? Where do we start? Now, he's right by knowing where we start at the Word. By the way, every question needs to start with, where's the Word in this? What does the Word have to say? Linda has a little statement that she uses periodically. And here's what she says. The Word says. The Word says. And then all right, that means you better shut up because something's coming down right there. And it's emphatic. It's from God. And you can't question it. All right. The Word. She says that a lot. The Word says. How many of you, ain't nothing wrong with the Word says? A few weeks ago, we were in the car and she said something. Well, people just need to know what the Word says. Well, we're driving to a conference. And that very next night, our friend Jensen Franklin stands up and he's preaching about the Word. And here's what he said. He said, the key is always the Bible says. It's not what I think, it's not what you think, but what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Well, here's where I need your help today. What would you tell them? I'm going to ask three or four of you. What would you tell the teacher? I realize that what you will tell will be, and I'm going to build on this a little further. It will be a reflection on your faith, on your experience, and even your personality. Let's take a couple of them. Paul, if you were to tell, what would you tell the teacher to tell the girl? Go.
The story of Joseph in the Bible, in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Because it reveals, in my opinion, it reveals that God is with you in the pit. He's with you in the suffering. He's with you in the struggle. He's with you.
Thank you.
At all times, but he will. His okay. Promises will come true.
Deborah, stand up, baby, real quick. Linda, come to Deborah right in front of you. Deborah, real quick.
I would like, my favorite story is the story of the woman at the well.
Okay, and that would be a story to tell. Now, I'm going to tell you that. You're going to hear that a lot. Okay, Linda, Roy, stand up real quick. Can you do it, Roy, real quick? Give it to Roy. Let's ask Roy. Lynn?
Also, the woman at the well. Relevant to our time, relevant to everybody. She was a victim of racism. She was a victim because of an immoral lifestyle.
Right.
She was a victim of her society. But in spite of everything, Jesus sought her out. Jesus seeks
Amen.
People out.
Thank you. Good. Come on, quick. Mary Alice, come here quick. Meet Linda real quick. Lynn, can you do one for me in a second? Okay, I'm coming to you last, okay? One more. Two more. Mary Alice, what would you say to her?
Well, I thought about the teacher. You're telling the teacher what to say to the student.
Right.
I know a little something about both of those. And the student is laboring in their studies. So mine would be Matthew 11:28, where Jesus, the Savior, says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Give it to Lynn right there behind you. Lynn, we'll do the last one here.
The story of the leper.
Okay.
Who came to Jesus.
Good.
And he fell down in front of him.
Right.
and worshiped him because he was desperate.
Amen. That's a good word.
And he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.
Yes.
And I think what really touches me about that scripture is that Jesus not only was willing, but that he reached out.
Amen.
And he touched him right where he was.
Yes.
He didn't have to clean up anything. He didn't have to do anything. Jesus touched him and met him where he was.
Amen.
And that's what I would tell that student.
Linda, you close it, baby. Go. You got one?
There's so many.
Oh, no idea. Grab one.
Okay.
You don't need the Bible. It's in there. You got it.
Well, I was.
You got 10 of them in your head.
It's important that we do have an answer. And of course, I could have used the woman at the well. That's always one of my favorite. I love the story of the leper exactly because, yeah, you don't have to be good enough to come to the Lord. We're never good enough, even today. But God accepts us where we are. But I like 1 John. This is the message that we have heard and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Good.
If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And if we do not practice the truth, but if we walk, that's so simple to understand. And if we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship, there's a key, with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin.
Amen.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Good word.
Simple, nothing complicated, right. And it's straightforward.
Okay, now, did you notice something here? Did you notice that when they started talking, first off, they stood up politely to answer a question, but did you hear slow the evolution of the passion in their voice? Did you hear it in their hearts? Were there and you're where you are as a teacher and where you are different things? Do you understand? All right, now here I'm going to do something right now, and by the way, it was also a look into their personalities. Here I'm going to do something that I normally can I get a loud amen from everybody? Somebody's looking at me like tree full of owls. Yeah, come on, stop that. Yeah. All right. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You're going to find some things, okay? And I'm going to do something you should not do. But I have 3 pages of responses. I shouldn't even tell you that because you're going to lock down all the way. But I'm going to ask you, when something hits you, you respond to it. Let me hear you. Because this is going to, I'm painting a picture here, and when you walk away, you're going to feel really, really good about this. He got so much response. I spent hours looking at them, and I copied and pasted different ones, and I've edited, and I've tried to cull it. I couldn't cull it down anymore from what I did. I took 2 pages out. But let me tell you, the very first one that I have written down here, here's what's funny, is the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. Somebody said, tell her that story. Ready? I'm going to rock and roll. You're going to get some personalities. You're going to get some attitudes. You're going to hear some things that are fun, but you're going to respond, and it's going to touch each of you in a different way. You ready? Will you stay with me? Will you lean in? Can I hear you? Yeah, I'll stay with you. Yeah. That's what I want. The second one, if she's willing to read one book, I'd suggest the Gospel of John. If it's only one story, though, she needs to hear the prodigal son parable. She needs to hear that. Another one said, tell her about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All the Bible centers around that. Everything else will be good, but might not reveal her the truth of the gospel. And by the way, I suggest you tell her to read Matthew's account. One of them just said it this way, read the Sermon on the Mount. The next one said, read the passion narrative of what he did for us. This is kind of fun. This is a school teacher that has to tell you this before they tell you that. Depending on the age, I would have her read Ecclesiastes 1 if she's a broody teen, it says. One teacher asked me to read it when I was a little moody teen myself. It ultimately changed my life. If she's younger, Ruth's story is amazing and runs counter to the claims of the Bible. Being misogynistic because there's such love there. Another one said, the book of Genesis has my favorite stories in it. This got to be a guy. The Pacific story about Balaam and Balak, and you can't get over a talking donkey. That's way cool. I wish I'd had that story when I was younger there. The other one said, I would give Stephen's speech in the book of Acts, and then they stoned Stephen, and the coats were laid at the feet of Paul. That's a heavy one for start a kid off. This one said, as Paul said, the story of Joseph, not only is it an intriguing story, but after the student reads it, you can have an opportunity to show the parallels of Christ's forgiveness. Then that might open the willingness to read another one, and then I'd suggest that would be the book of John. I couldn't give one answer. It just kind of, and that's the way it is. Here's the one. I'd tell her to read about Rahab, the two spies, and the scarlet cord. Good story there. Another one said, I would say the woman at the well. And that, by the way, was the scripture that showed up the most. Okay? Read Genesis 1 about creation. This is the literal beginning and the foundation for what comes next. Hopefully, it will pique her natural curiosity to read more. I understand that. This is just a simple answer. Jesus and Nicodemus in John 3. You must be born again. Here's a long one. Since she likes books or words, I'll throw in the Tower of Babel. The point of the story, there's just one God, and we don't get to pretend to be him without bad things happening. One of them said, I like this one. Read when Israel demands a king like the rest of the nations, and Samuel gets bummed out, and God tells Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Another one said, the Gospel of Luke for sure. It gives everything from the birth to the ascension. This was a young lady, likely. Tell her the book of Esther. She said, it's the only book that does not mention God. And there's a movie, too. That's kind of fun. Here's another one. You've heard part of it. I want to talk about the story of Paul from the stoning of Stephen until the end of Acts. Again, that's a whole story. Here's this one. In John chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus and the woman who gets caught in adultery. Personally, this guy says, I love Jesus in the temple courts. This is one of those ones we have rules and we do it this way, all right? I love when Jesus was in the temple courts and tearing things up. He scatters the false image of Jesus that many people have. he shatters the false image of Jesus that many people have, being soft-spoken, timid, quiet, holding lambs in one arm while the doves take their perch on his other arm. Is that a vivid statement? This is really cool. I would recommend the book of Ephesians. This is a Christian a little bit more, you know, that's grown a little bit. And be sure to tell her that it's written to believers so that all is found does not, everything that is found in Scripture doesn't always apply to the unbelievers. Definitely, I would say read one of the Gospels, then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. I like that one. And then, typical for culture today, is there a Bible story that tells how teachers should not inject their religion during their instruction times? Thank you very much. God bless you. Another lady. I'd suggest you either read Esther or Ruth. Those are real solid stories. Young girl. When I was a teen girl, I used to tune out the sermons and just sit there in church roaming through the parables in the Gospels. They were short. They were interesting, and I could understand them even as a young teen. For some like us with small attention spans, that might work. Here's another one. Tell the gospel story. You have four to choose from. Another one said, tell King David's story. It's full of murder, adultery, and forgiveness. And I think people would be surprised that's in the Bible. Here's a sweet one, simple. I would tell her about the parable of the lost sheep. Here was a daddy. The daddy said, my five daughters always requested the book of Esther. And he trained his little girls on that. This is a guy. Tell her about Shadrach and his buds in the fire. That'd be a great one. Here's another legalistic. We've always done it this way. There's no laughter here. This is the gospel. This is somebody that said, I would suggest Hosea. Now, if you ever read Hosea, he comes out with a roar. You understand? He's dangling them over hell. I mean, I'd read Hosea. How many of you like those realistic people you're trying to have a conversation with, and they went, that's a real good way to reel a young believer in. Let me read this for you, sister. You sit down and do that. And it's there, but you got to get ready to get to there. You understand that? That's like we're so literal. Lynn and I tell a story. We have a friend that took his daddy. His daddy was a very staid, stodgy, and you know, no joy, no imagination. You know what I mean? And he took him back when the great play West Side Story was on Broadway. And many of you have seen it, and you know the story, and we can sing those songs and everything. And he takes his daddy, and it's the acclaimed play, and he's a hard businessman. He's trying to do something, treat his dad, and they walk out of West Side Story on Broadway in New York City. Dad, how'd you like it? He said, oh, it was terrible. He said, what do you mean? He said, real people don't dance in the street. How literal can you get? I understand they don't, but there's just something about dialogue going on, and they break into when you're a jet. There's something that happens. Can't you understand that? This is where you got to be with the word. So don't dangle Hosea over them, but it is kind of fun to talk about. Here's a smart person. It's your decision. God bless you. And I will defer to the Holy Spirit on that one. You know this person, and I don't. Okay. Are you putting a picture together here? Why don't you start with the Gospel of Mark? It focuses more on Jesus' action and service to people. That'll connect a kid for today. I think Mark is the shortest book, too. So, for someone resistant to the Bible, they might be more willing to finish even the entire gospel because Mark is such a short book. Another one here, I like this one. So many Old Testament stories are great, beginning in Genesis, and they might pull in the avid reader. But for my daughters, it was always the story of Esther. Here's somebody getting ready for the end. She needs to read about the four horsemen. You got that? This is a good one. I would tell her to read Acts chapter 2, verse 14, when Peter stands up and he preaches the sermon, and he says it this way, because if Israel's heart was pierced, maybe the Lord will pierce her heart too with the same as. A lot of thought there, isn't it? Isn't that good? Here's a great, and there's been hints of this in the story here. The story I would suggest would be the conversion of Paul. How dramatic that was, walking down that street, breathing the King James language, threats and slaughters. In his belt, he had the written approval that he could kill Christians, and it was up to his discretion that he could do that. And all of a sudden, boom, he hits the ground, and the transformation was remarkable, and he wrote the whole right side of your Bible after that experience. That's a good story there. Here's a good one. I would tell her to read the story of Jonah. In the book of Jonah, God's grace and his mercy are in full display. But it also teaches you better not try to run from God. Isn't that cool? That's true, though, isn't it? Yeah. Here's another one that loves to heap destruction. My favorite is Moses when he brings the plague of Egypt on all of them. I like that. Here's a sweet one. I would suggest, as a young lady, the book of Ruth. It's one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's all about love. It's about loyalty. And it actually foreshadows the divinity of Jesus and tells the story there. Here's another one, not playing games. You need to start her from Revelation. This will depict her future, and don't preempt anything. Let her curiosity be aroused on her own. Here's how you know this answer is current. Just tell her she needs to watch The Chosen. Here's a fun one. She either needs to hear about Jonah or Job. Another one said, I like the story where the fat guy gets stabbed in the stomach so hard that the knife disappears. That's always a crowd pleaser at our church. Guys, we liked that in Sunday school, didn't we? Yeah, oh, boom, yeah. Always a crowd pleaser. I thought that was a great line. I would tell her to read about Lazarus. Tell her to read Genesis. It reads like a great soap opera. Here's somebody with a little wisdom. You might want to wait on Leviticus. Here's one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Joseph and his brothers are Samson and Delilah. And by the way, if the super loves supernatural stories, suggest Acts to her. Here's my favorite line in the whole scripture. Let there be light, and it was good. Tell her to read about the future, Revelation 21, where it says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Y'all are going yes to all of these, aren't you? You may want to keep her away from Numbers and the Sodom and Gomorrah story for a while. It might be a little creepy for modern people to understand, especially how it ends. Here's somebody trying to provoke something. Song of Solomon. This was a kid. David and Goliath. Pick any psalm, one said. This one said, this was a Christian that was mature. I'd go with Romans. I'd go with the book of Romans. This one said, with culture today, I would give her the story in Acts 17 of when Paul goes to Athens and goes to Mars Hill, and they have all these gods, and he stands up and says, I know the unknown God. Isn't that right? One person said it this way. Whatever you choose, make sure it includes Jesus. Everything else is supplemental. Here's an Old Testament fan that listed four or five things on the they couldn't say to one. Big Old Testament fan. 1 Kings 3, Solomon's wisdom and the baby dispute. That's always fun. It's a fascinating story. She might want to read more after that. Here's somebody said, oh, Daniel 3, the fiery furnace, no doubt. Here's one you'll understand because we did it a few months ago. Give her the book of Judges where JL drives the tent peg through the guy's head. Remember that story? Here's another one. 1 Kings 18, when Elijah had the showdown with the prophets of Baal and the fire fell. Is that cool? How about the story of Paul in Acts 27 when he's at sea and he's shipwrecked and the snake reaches out to bite his hand and they looked at him and he shook it off. That's a great story for and they said when he did not swell, they knew that he was from God. You've heard this already, but it's so important. Daniel in the lion's den. Here's somebody that's been around, that's got a heart, probably a sweet, sweet person. She needs to hear Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then here's a typical person from 2022. Please tell me that you don't teach in public schools. That's why we got the problem today. Here's somebody giving advice. I would suggest you pray to God first. Let the Holy Spirit direct you. He knows this girl. And he will lead you to what scripture can convict her heart. Whatever the story you give to her, show her the gospel, this one said. That's the real story that matters in the Bible. Everything points to Jesus, this one said, because he is the door. He is the only way to the Father. And here's one that touched me, and it came out of nowhere. I didn't expect it because I was getting into the groove of these answers, and there's a rhythm in these answers that you can feel. And this simple, and I listen to this statement right here. Here's what this person wrote. Take her to the cross. Wow. Wow. I'd like to ask you a question. For the last 10 minutes, has your mind taken a trip with some of these words and some of these stories? Has your heart been stirred in a joyful manner? When you recollect, there's a lot of things going on when I'm reading these things to you. I'm not just passing time. When you hear some of these suggestions and you go, here's the emotion you felt the most. Yeah, I could have named that too. Are you seeing the vastness of what you have been entrusted with? How big the story is? Are you seeing how big the word is? Are you seeing how contemporary the word is? Are you seeing, well, I'm getting out of. Here's what I want to say to you. When you're talking about the word of God, you ready? I'm going to make the proclamation like the heralds on the side of the street. Hear ye, hear ye. There are no wrong answers. There are no wrong answers. There are no wrong answers. And also notice that all of the answers were connected to the experience, to the faith, and the testimony of the advice givers, whether it was you or whether it was these people. It's sure much better to talk to an eyewitness. You open up the New Testament book and it says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We live in a culture that you don't know that. You didn't see it. You weren't there. No. He was there. There are no wrong answers. Here's what you have to know, though. You have to be tuned. You have to be tuned, and you're asking God, you're seeing the need, and as your discernment radar is going, God will speak to you about someone. You will see it in a countenance. You'll see, and inspire you to say, consider reading this. What did I do? I laid you out about 45 answers of possibilities for you. There are no wrong answers. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. I wrote the word. It was connected to their personal testimonies, even with you guys. I underlined the word testimony. The testimony here, I was once blind. Now I see. Here's about the answers of the word of God. The answers are timeless. The answers are endless. I hope when I've been reading some of these, you've gone, oh, wow, it's there. It is clear. It is plain. The word meets every person. The word meets every need. The word fits every moment. The word answers every question. The word soothes every soul. The word is specific for each of us, and the word is everlasting. So regarding of writing our sermon today, let me tell you how we write our sermon today. Do you know who's writing the sermon? I am, but you are. Do you realize that you are writing a sermon every day? You are writing a sermon every day. Do you realize that in spite of all these Bible stories that you are actually the greatest advertisement of the word? Remember when I read that word a little bit earlier? That they will see that you walk with God, that you've kept yourself straight, that you've done these things, and that they will feel bad because they realize of how you live and what God has done for you. Peter said it this way when he wrote these words, do not fear, do not be frightened. But know this, you must be energized by the Holy Spirit. I wrote this statement. Do you realize, not just a suggestion for a word that somebody may ask, but do you realize if I read what Peter wrote and what Paul wrote, that you are a walking billboard for the word and for the power of God? You're actually the sermon walking around. This isn't sermon on paper. You're the sermon walking around right now. Peter said, don't be afraid. Do not be frightened. We must be energized. Paul wrote it this way. Peter said he was an apostle. Here's how believers were described by Paul. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You are our written epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you're an apostle, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not written on a tablet of stone or a sheet of paper, but on the tablets of flesh. That is the heart. And wasn't that God's original objective that the prophets prophesied? Again, I'm showing you, there are no wrong answers here. You're feeling the person's heart. You're asking God to help you. You're speaking from experience. Don't get out over your skis on something you don't even know what you're talking about. Deal with the word right now. And it's the Spirit of God that will help you. He said right here, verse 4, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency, our answer, our lives, they are from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Stop there. Remember in the verse above where he said, not written on a sheet of paper or a table, but in your heart? Go a little bit further down right now. That is the concept of the new covenant relationship. He's drawn it together here. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Now notice how some people that had some discernment, they said, you know the word, but ask the Lord to minister to you to say what is the right thing for the right time. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If I asked you to give a word, Peter said, be ready to give a word. The word is Jesus. But that, okay, fine, I know that. But let's go a little, how does this apply? The Word, Jesus, is our text. That's our text verse. But it's the Spirit that will enable us. See, our lives demonstrate it. Word is our text. That's where we start from, Jesus. His Spirit enables us, and our lives demonstrate it in our walk. Good word right there, isn't it? And by the way, that will keep you alert. If you will stay in the... People get in trouble when they get out of the Word. This will keep you alert. If you need to stay sharp there. If you're not sharp, go back to where you lost it and get back to it. Get on it. Get into the Word right there. You know who you are today? We are merely carriers. He said, we're walking billboards. We're epistles known and read of men. We're billboards. We're carriers. We're evangelists. We're the walking advertisement of the power and the truth of God's Word in our lives. So my word to you today, keep spreading the news. 'Tis the season. Start walking today in the spirit of thanksgiving this month. Start thinking about it. And where does it all start? In the Word. And don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. Because as you can well see, there are no wrong answers. So carry the Word as you leave. Let's stand.